Let me, and if you're taking notes, let me suggest you're going to have two columns on your page. This is going to be a comparison. Put up here the Garden of Eden, and then to the right, put the Temple Mount. And then I'll give you, if you're taking notes, you'd like to do that, let me suggest some comparisons. First of all, what was in the Garden of Eden that will be on the Temple Mount? The first characteristic of the Garden of Eden is that its government was a theocracy. In chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Genesis, it is a theocracy. There is no right for me. God is the governor. And he governs in a theocracy. It's an absolute state of God's law. No getting around it. A theocracy. What is going to be established on the Temple Mount in the future? What will be established? Go with me to Zechariah. We're going to run over the Bible some, so get your fingers out and get ready to go. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. Zechariah 6:13. Hope you have a Bible. Zechariah 6:13. Zechariah 6:12 is the statement that the branch Jesus Christ will build his temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. There's a coming tribulation temple that the Jews are going to build, but the temple that Jesus Christ will rule and reign from in the millennial kingdom will be built by Jesus Christ. In fact, there's a period of time after Jesus Christ steps down on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. From the time he steps down on the Mount of Olives until the Battle of Armageddon, or the last phase, I should say, of the campaign of Armageddon, because Armageddon's campaign actually starts in Jerusalem. It doesn't start in the Jezreel Valley. It concludes in the Jezreel Valley. And so it is a campaign of Armageddon better than the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus Christ comes back to the Mount of Olives as all the armies of the world under the leadership of Satan, Antichrist, and false prophet have been gathered, Zechariah 14:2, in Jerusalem, surrounding Jerusalem, killing half of the people, raping the women that are still alive. And that then brings God to the conclusion, this is the time to send my son back. And he comes. And while these people are fleeing, it says in Zechariah 14:5 that the valley is open up so that they can flee to the valley of the mountains. That's the Jezreel Valley. The mountain ranges surround the Jezreel Valley. Jezreel Valley is 67 miles long, 14 miles wide. It is a location that Napoleon said is the greatest battlefield in all the world. And they're going to flee up there. It's 97 miles from Jerusalem to the Jezreel Valley. And so they'll take time to move that army up there of probably 100 million soldiers gathered there at Jerusalem to go against. I'm just taking a guess. That's a sanctified speculative guess, because there's 100 and I think 28 or 132 different nations in the world. And if they had a million soldiers apiece, I'm just saying 100, so that's 100 million soldiers that gather there to go against Jesus Christ. While they're moving up there, Jesus Christ is going to change the topography of the city of Jerusalem. He lifts the city of Jerusalem up. He makes it 50 miles in every direction, 2,500 square miles. He then builds a 21-story temple on top of that, after having lifted the Temple Mount itself and making it 1 mile square, all in the book of Ezekiel in chapters 40 to 46. And so all of this is taking place while they're fleeing to the Jezreel Valley. He builds the temple. Thus, when we now come to Zechariah 6, we understand he's built the temple in verse 12. Verse 13, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule with his throne, and he shall be a priest upon the throne. and peace will be established. Somebody asked, when will peace come to the Middle East? When the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, comes back. The only time there ever will be a peace in the Middle East or a peace any place in this world. But he establishes, and how do we know, and why is it going to be peace? Because he establishes a theocracy on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. It's a 1,000-year theocracy. It's a period of time. He says it. That settles it. Nobody has an opportunity to give their opinion. There will be no demonstrations. A theocracy. So the theocracy, Genesis 1 and 2, that was established in the Garden of Eden, will be reinstituted on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. Second thing I want you to think about, characteristic of both the Garden of Eden and the Temple Mount. Who was, or what was, the ultimate priority in the 6 24-hour days of creation? We talked about it the very first day. I was setting, this is a building block study. Everything had to be heard before the next session could take place, so you would understand the blocks that I was building to build the entire edifice. And that was the priority of the creative acts of God himself was the creative act of bringing man into existence. In our image, we create him. Adam, the first Adam, was in the Garden of Eden. Go to 1 Corinthians just for a second, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. This is the chapter that deals with the resurrection of Christ and also the rapture of the church. But there's some great additional information in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 22. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In the first Adam all died. In the last Adam all are given life. The first Adam was in the Garden of Eden. This last Adam will be on the Temple Mount. Go over here to verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And to use my phrase, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Death from the first Adam in the Garden of Eden, life from the last Adam on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. And so we have Adam in the Garden of Eden, the first Adam, the last Adam on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem.